everyone. Welcome to Limitless Radio Cast, episode 106. Chad and I are hanging out with the amazing Dante Leon, Canadian-born, fighting out of Toledo, Ohio. He is a professional grappler. We get into all kinds of great conversations with him about cutting weight, working out, how hard it is, how easy it is over time, and how much you learn. So you guys, turn that volume up, throw those headphones on, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this show is also being brought to you by Warpath 55, located in Massillon, Ohio. Lanky Fight Gear, OldBonesTherapy.com, Thomas Webb of DeHoff Realtors, Candry Law LLC, Magic City Brewing Company, M&H Beans Coffee Company, Ronald E. Butler Tax and Accounting LLC, Limitless Tape. Listen, guys, these are our sponsors and they help us tremendously each and every week to do this show. So we ask you guys to support them as much as they support us. Now enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Hope all you guys out there are doing well. So Chad and I have the great honor and privilege to hang out with Dante Leon. He is a professional grappler. He's a He's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. He fights out of Toledo, Ohio with Team Adams Jiu-Jitsu, Pettigrew Submission Fighting. And Leon, please correct me if I screwed any of that stuff up. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Adamus Jiu-Jitsu. That's the Adamus. Only thing. You had the rest perfect.
Hey, Chad, I thought I pronounced it the first time. So I kind of practiced it sometimes when Chad came on and I was doing it. And then I was like, I think it's spelled this way. And then he's like, no, it's A-S. And I'm like, oh, I was saying it wrong. It's Adams. And then you corrected me. It's good. I'm old, man. Reading is not my forte. Right. So how are you, man? How's everything going?
I'm good. Good. Everything's been pretty busy. Always the first part of the year is a little bit slower, so it's cool to get active this year right away. Last year was a bit of a struggle to do that, and year before that was kind of the same way, so it's cool to be able to like kind of hit the ground running and be able to within a month of the start of the year be active already. Nice. So it's nice. Cool. Yeah.
Did injuries or circumstances keep you from being able to like hit the ground running?
Last year was kind of tough to get matches going, I felt like.
Okay.
There's always tournaments available and things like that. But when like the high level, kind of try and look for matches that you want to have or tournaments that have like a high level of competition. Those were a little bit slower at the beginning of the year. And this year, it seems like it's just kind of taken off, you know, right away.
Good.
You know, a month of the year.
Yeah. Right. That's good. I'm sure with like COVID being a thing and going through that transition, that was, you know, a huge amount of years. Let's be honest. It wasn't like months or whatever. So people were kind of slowing things down. And now, you know, the last year or so, things are starting to ramp up. And I think we're even getting better now, obviously, in 2024. You have a big match coming up, February 28th, right? A big, like, these are new to me too. Like these
type of team matches. February 9th.
Oh, February 9th. Okay. Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. February 9th, I have a match, one match against an opponent from AOJ. Nice. That's going to be on Who's Number One, Flow Grappling. That's at 155. And then February 29th, I'm in an open bracket for the IBJJF Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Chad, that's what I was talking about last night at the gym. Guys have all the, Dante, you have all the, like, the team rash guards and whatever.
That's something
totally different. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That was in Kazakhstan. That was at the end of last year.
Oh, okay. So okay. It was sweet though. I was just like, wow, this is kind of like, you know, Mo put on, obviously, you know, I know he's a big part of that and like just watching you guys. And I just happened to catch a clip yesterday of your triangle armbar wrist lock that you finished in that. And I was like, I asked Chad, I'm like, cause Chad loves wrist locks, big wrist locker. And in very sneaky ways, not in the mean kind of aggressive way. It's more like, ooh, wrist lock's here. And then you did that. And I was like, hey, did you see Dante have this wrist lock after having a triangle arm bar where the guy wouldn't tap? So it's pretty cool. Yeah, very good. Do you like that format of like the Grand Prix type things or, you know, like what you guys are doing?
Yeah, the team tournament is kind of cool. I like that. It gives more of a competition aspect,
okay,
more similar to the sports that I grew up doing, you know, being, you know, I grew up in Canada, but I was so close to the Midwest that I kind of consider it Midwest, but Midwest is all about the team sports, you know, football, baseball, soccer, things like that. And there's a lot of flow, there's a lot of change of the change of ties, change of pace when there's a team involved. You know, one team can score, another team can come back, things like that. There's more of that with a team sport, I feel like, than in an individual sport. So even
Sure.
though each one of those matches are individual, if we go down two matches, it creates a lot of drama. It creates a lot of
Yeah.
tension,
Yeah.
especially near the end. So it turns into almost like a playoff series, more so. And it's kind of a cool thing, you know. Sometimes you get way ahead, and people can come back, you know, rally back. You just had to have
Sure.
four best of seven, so four wins. And then you won. So there were times that we would have three and they would have two, or we would have three wins, they would have zero. So it was always like a change in the dynamic depending on how the match is played out.
Right.
And Dante or Chad, like I'm completely oblivious to this. Is this a format that is becoming more popular in our world, in the jiu-jitsu world? Or is this a format that's been around?
It's been, I think it's been around in some ways, a lot of different ways. Typically, it was brought around with quintet. That's what made it a little
Right.
more popular. And
Okay.
quintet was a 5-on-5. And the only thing about quintet was a lot of the matches would end in a draw,
Right.
or like just go all the way through because they were only like 5 or 6, 7 minute matches.
Okay.
Sometimes even eight. I don't even know if that's like long enough to really determine like a winner with high level people. So the thing that was a little bit better, in my opinion, about Aiga was it was 3 5-minute rounds. So even though the rounds are a little
Oh,
bit
okay.
different and tough to adapt to for jiu-jitsu guys, it was 3 5-minute rounds. So at least you got a decent amount of time to be able to, you know, decide a winner and evolve too. So it's very rare that anything would go through to even a judge's decision. There was always like points being scored and the winner of each round. So it made it a little more like exact instead of having to have seven matches go the distance because they're only 5 minutes and then they pick the
Sure.
winner. It was a little
Right.
more like clear cut because there are a lot of different ways to victory. So yeah, I do like that format a little bit better.
I
Yeah,
think
so it
it's
was exciting
almost,
to
yeah,
watch.
that's what, so that's where I was going with this, Chad. Like, you know, we talk about the growing community of jiu-jitsu, trying to get as many people out there. Obviously, we love jiu-jitsu. You know, it's great for people, individual, it's great for professional athletes to do something that they love. And I love to see that you can flourish from this now, you know, maybe more than ever, like making an income, be a professional, you know what I mean? And like seeing this format is like, can we see more of these formats to where your everyday people go, oh, it's boring, or they're stalling, or so on and so forth. You know what I mean? Like, if we see more of this format, people are like, oh, they're excited because that might match might go down not as well, but we got to look for this next guy and he's got to step up. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be cool to see that more often than maybe we do now. And maybe that'll be a thing more, or I'm just old and dumb
Could
and
be.
didn't know it wasn't
Yeah.
not a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool, man.
I
Very
hope
cool.
it continues more because it gives it's the only way that I've seen in a jiu-jitsu event where you get to see that many like really like top 10 in the world,
Yeah.
regardless of weight class, compete, you know. Even if you see these super fight shows and these bracketed tournaments, you don't see that much. You don't get to see those guys perform in multiple matches.
Right.
You might get to see two of those guys compete against each other, but then they just compete against each other. And a lot of times when the highest level people compete against each other, sometimes they show a lot and sometimes they don't get a chance to show a lot. You know, it's a like a high tension situation if you're
Yeah.
looking at, you know, just one-off matches. But if you get to see all the best guys in the world, guys, you know, a whole team of black belt world champions and ADCC medalists getting to compete in two or three matches over the course of a weekend at a tournament like that, you get to see a lot of really high level jiu-jitsu. And I think more than you get to see at any of these other events that have been going on. So that's the thing I think is really unique about it, is the fans kind of get spoiled a little bit because they get to see not just like one or two guys they want to see, they get to see like 20 different people they want to see compete, you know.
Right.
And if more high level teams get involved in AIGA and events like that, we could see just like 4 or 6 or 8 teams enter in a tournament or enter in the finals of AIGA next year. or in 2025, and they could all be like world class teams. You know, they could all have, you know, beasts on their team. You know, there wouldn't be any mismatches or anything like that. So that's when it would get truly interesting, not only to us as like fans who do jiu-jitsu, but people who don't know about the sport.
Yeah,
they would see it at the highest level.
Yeah, and yeah. I think sometimes that's where we, you know, we've talked about it many times with other people on the show, and that's what we always come to. It's like, oh well, you know, we get asked all the time. I do. It's like an older person, like, oh, you do jiu-jitsu, like, you know, joke around, oh, that's karate or whatever, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's like hard to try to explain to them sometimes. I'm like, oh, you got to watch a match or come see it or come try it, so on and so forth. I can see this being like not only exciting for myself to watch, because, you know, obviously training in it and being in it, but for the outside person to come and watch it and be like, wow, this is entertaining. This is, you know, you got the highest level. Like, you know, ADCC is obviously awesome. Mo just does a fantastic, and not just Mo alone. I'm always leaving, you know, other individuals out there, most off the top of my head right now, doing ADCC, and the venue obviously has gotten bigger, but man, this could be something that you could see huge. Like I'm talking big arenas type deal, like an ADCC type thing where you could have the top, like you're saying, you know, Dante, is that this huge group A and group B top level five guys, whatever it is, each team, you know, going against one another and just, you know, who's the best of the best at that point in time. So that's kind of cool, yeah. Man. I like that
for sure.
Where it's going. Always trying to find ways to grow the sport and grow the information for people out there, you know, to understand like the quality of it, you know, for someone like myself, that's a hobbyist to like you, Dante, that's a professional, you know what I mean? There's so far and a few in between, but I want everyone to do it. I want everyone to do it.
Yeah. I think on the viewer side, it also helps if you have two guys that want to do jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah.
You know, we get into that a lot. So obviously there's, you know, no-gi is obviously the more popular thing right now and probably more viewer friendly, but I think if you have the right guys, any match can be exciting, right? Gi or no-gi. But how much cutting to 55, Dante, has helped you out? How are you feeling?
I feel good. I feel good at 55. The first time I did it was probably the hardest time, and it's just gotten easier and easier since then. And when I say hard, I mean it wasn't that hard. I still haven't had to sit in a sauna and do anything drastic to make the weight. I can always get the weight down 10 or 15 pounds by diet, the rest water loading morning of. I'm
nice.
Looking to wake up like 3 pounds away from my weight, you know? So I do appreciate that it's a day before weigh-in. Would this be something I would probably do day of? I don't think so, but I'm not killing myself to do it, and I'm able to rehydrate up to my normal walking around weight, you know, and I never let my weight get too high. You know, I don't come in at like 185 and start cutting at that point. I'm always between 170, 175. So it's pretty easy.
That was my next question, what your walk around was. And I assumed it was probably right around there.
Yeah. Chad said last night.
Like never more than 175. It just depends on how the training schedule and everything like that. I just never let it get above 185, 175. Even over the holidays and everything like that, I think the highest I ever got was like 176. And
oh, wow.
That was good. With the lowest amount on a training that I've had all year. That was like with, you know, training maybe like once a day in some form. So if my weight doesn't get too squirrely, I don't think it'll ever be a problem.
Was it
so
go ahead, Chad.
I was just going to say, so when you go into that open weight at the end of February, what do you do for your weight? Just wherever you're at? And then you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll just go wherever I'm at. Like 170 is where I feel really good.
Yeah.
I always follow a diet. I always follow a meal plan. Yeah. 170 is kind of where I feel the best. Like when my weight's like that 168, 170. So that's where I'll try and be. I don't want to like gain a crazy amount of weight or do anything like that. It just changes my style. It changes how I do things. So. I'm not weak, so I'll be able to deal with those guys' strength. I know the size and their size is going to be like a big advantage with that, but I have my advantages too, and I have to stay true to that. So I'm going to try not to gain too much.
Yeah, and I think that's very smart for people to listen to, like, because I'm sure there's other people like, well, I'm going to be in an open weight, I need to put on weight to be bigger, but that's going to throw your whole game off, you know? I mean, just, you know, me being a hobbyist, if I get to a certain weight, I don't feel good. Right. I don't, you know, and I'm always been a tall, small person anyway, but like, and it sounds silly, if I get up to 170, I don't feel well. Like I'm a good from 155 to 165 is my normal probably weight. If I get any heavier than that, I just feel sluggish and my game doesn't feel the same, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
It takes time. Each time you put on weight, it takes time to adjust to it. You know, it does take, it's like an adjustment period. So at 175, I do feel good. But then when I get a little bit bigger, I don't feel great for a long time. Like I need a while to adjust to it. So that's where it kind of gets a little bit tricky because now I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of doing the opposite of what I should be doing. I should be staying close to my 80cc weight. You know, I should be staying close to that. So if I'm getting too big and I'm having to cut weight for a day of weigh-in, I'm kind of not doing what I should be doing, you know?
Right.
And another thing too is it depends on your frame. If I was this weight going into the open and I knew I was bench and I could, you know, let's say I'm like 6 feet tall, then I can afford to gain some weight, you know, because I have the frame to carry it. At this point, I'm not getting any taller, you know, I'm 5'8" right. On a really good day.
Yeah.
So if I gain a whole bunch of weight, it still doesn't change the length of my extremities. I still don't have longer arms. I still don't have longer legs. The more mass I put on probably the less I'm able to utilize my legs and my arms, right? So
right,
it doesn't really pay me, you know, too much good to do a huge weight gain or anything like that. Sure. As much as like the meathead in me would love to do that,
right, yeah,
really do it right now.
Do you regulate yourself then when you lift weights and stuff? Like obviously, like try to keep that weight the same so you're not bulking and not gaining anything like muscle tissue wise. I mean, you're going to get stronger with grappling alone in itself. I mean, that's inevitable.
I'm going to go on a limb and say no, seeing your videos.
Oh yeah, that's.
I think so. Like with programming and everything, I've done that for a long time. I've done it myself. I've done it with the help of a coach and trainer, and then now everything's done through Westside and the guys at Westside. So it's just gotten like steadily more in tune for a long time, and it's in really good hands. But I've done it for so long that I kind of know what to do. In my opinion, I think really everything's in diet. You know, if you're not eating to get big, you don't just get big just because you do more reps in the gym or a lot of reps. It doesn't just necessarily mean you just put on excess muscle tissue. You're probably just going to get more sore if you're not eating properly. You're just going to get more sore and fatigued. You might get a little bigger, you might get a little more defined, but that mass isn't going to come. All that stuff comes with supplementation, nutrition, sleep, stuff like that. Like that all has to be in cue. So I don't feel like when my volume increases a lot, I don't feel like I gain a crazy amount of weight. I think I just peak out right at like 175 because I'm still following a nutrition plan that has, you know, that built into it. I'm not eating freely. I'm eating still on a plan, even though I'm eating a lot more. But it's a clean diet. It's a healthy diet. It's a diet meant to maintain and keep me healthy rather than, you know, excess calories.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, let's be honest, obviously as a professional grappler, you have to do that. But anyone out there that's listening, if you want to put yourself in that best position, this is the way to do it. What Dante's saying right now, like you can definitely put a ton of time in the gym and not have to worry about getting, you know, bulky or uncomfortable or anything. If you're eating properly, get the right nutrition, get the right stuff in your body. It's vital. I try to tell my kids right now all the time. My oldest son is 16. He started lifting probably about a year and a half ago. And he just recently asked me, he's like, Dad, I'm not getting any bigger. And I was like, buddy, you're not eating enough. I was like, you're eating good. Like I have you eating right, but you're not consuming enough. Like you just can't bulk up. Like you have a perfect frame for it, you know, right now at his age. And, you know, he's obviously young and, you know, so on and so forth. But I was like, if you want to get bigger, you have to eat to be bigger and properly, you know? So yeah, it's a good point, man. It's a way. It's
absolutely out there. That's the thing. When you start with lifting, the biggest thing about your nutrition, I feel like is You know, when you're young, you can kind of eat whatever you want
Yeah.
and nothing really changes if you're active for the most part. You know what I mean? But the biggest thing and the hardest thing to teach the young, you know, the teens or the young adults when they do start to go down the path of like athletics, so they have to start exploring with strength training and things like this, is you have to build up a routine of eating. Not necessarily like you have to eat, you know, vegetables and saying you get really specific with it, but like you have to eat 5 or 6 meals a day. You have to eat that amount of time. So you have to figure out how you can eat carbs, fats, and proteins in 6 meals. You know what I'm saying? And four of them can be like bigger meals, and you can have a snack or two snacks, like however you want to work it out. But that's really the thing, is if you can build that discipline, if you can build that as a routine, it's not really going to be hard to change little things. Because for the most part, my diet and the times that I eat has been the same since I was like 18 years old, just working out and, you know,
I was
doing
gonna
my thing.
ask
It's
you.
kind of been the same as that. I'm just not eating like tuna in a can anymore.
Well, that's what that's what you started when you're younger, because there's like a high protein and it's a lean meal and it can help a ton like that. Playing sports as a young athlete, did that help, like your coaching and your process and going through and people who are in your life, like to get you to understand that discipline? Because that is a hard thing to teach people, especially younger people, like being routined, being disciplined. If you're going to be an athlete, you have to do this. Like trying to explain to my youngest son, he's 10, he's plays every sport in the world, he's really athletic, and I try to tell him this even at 10. I'm like, listen, you have to be disciplined, man. You have to be on point like all the time. If you want to be great, if you want to be good at something, you have to do this. Did you have that, Dante, in your younger career, like doing anything?
Yeah, so like as far as working out and the nutrition, I have my dad to thank for that for
Nice.
sure. My dad wasn't really big on like what I ate. He kind of didn't care what I ate necessarily unless it was complete junk. But like you could have a cheeseburger, you could have a chicken breast, you could have ground beef, like whatever it was, but you had to eat 4 to 6 meals a day. Like there was no option. Even when I was like a younger kid, it was still 4 meals a day. I remember that every morning you had to have breakfast. There was no like, I don't want a breakfast, I just want a glass of orange juice, or I'm just gonna wake up late, just go to school. Like that was never an option. It had to be, you had to eat something. So I have him to thank for that for sure. And I think sports just teaches you, it's hard to, because I stopped playing sports when I was 12 years old. Like I haven't played another sport since I was 12. That's kind of when I quit everything that I was doing. So up until that point, like being 10 years old, I did play hockey at a high level. I played hockey at a AAA level, which is kind of the highest you can play at that
Nice.
age. But what coaching, when you come up in a sport where you're coached or you have a coach, you learn how to listen. Like you learn how to like just shut up and listen to what somebody tells you, regardless if you think he's wrong or you don't like him or whatever it is. And that's something that people who do jiu-jitsu typically don't have, because a lot of people who do jiu-jitsu didn't really play other sports before. I think it would benefit them to play sports, or if they did play sports at some point in their life, because a lot of people when they start are the opposite of that. They don't listen, they don't you know, take advice. They're kind of abrasive towards you when you try to help, or you try to, you know, show them a different way than what they think. And when you're coming up in a team sport, you don't really have an option to do that. Like nobody really has an option to do that. We would have to do like, if you did that, everybody did a bag skate, or everybody did like fireman drills, you know, skating when you're a kid. It's not like it wasn't a thing that was accepted even then. So to grow up and be like 25 years old and tell somebody something and watch them look at you like you have your head up your ass is kind of like, it's kind of staggering to me. It's like that would like never go through my head. You know, I'm not saying I was always the best student, but something like that wouldn't go through my head, because growing up, I could never do that. I could never just be like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean?
I'm very much the same. Like I'm like, that's, I think that helped me in jiu-jitsu so late. You know, I started 42 years old. I started doing jiu-jitsu, and that helped. Obviously, I had a lot more time. I wasn't very egotistical, you know, love to fight, love to get after it, but I was super like absorbed, like teach me, I'm not good enough for anything. You know what I mean? And I think playing sports obviously had a huge impact on doing that. But you bring up a great point. Like, Chad, you've had many people like be abrasive, or like you try to teach them something and they're not doing it, or they don't want to do it, or they think like the way that you're showing them isn't good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not saying anything.
No, I thought you were just making a statement. True. Yeah. Yeah, it happens a lot. Some people just aren't very coachable or want to learn. And I think we have to be, as instructors, you have to be even more on top of things now, because there is jiu-jitsu in a lot of places from when we started back in the day, right? You didn't have a lot of choices. And now you have a lot of choices on where you can train and get your info and DVDs and Fanatics and all that stuff. So, because, you know, how many times a week, you know, I come in and somebody's like, hey, did you see this move Craig Jones is doing? I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, so there's just a lot of info out there, and we got to be on top of things and try to coach people and make them want to learn, I guess, or listen to you.
For sure. Definitely.
So
Dante, you remember your first time?
The most dangerous thing. Yeah. But the most dangerous thing in any war, I think in any, like any situation, is when people know a little bit. Like, that's always the fucking most dangerous thing, is when somebody knows a little bit about something. And back in the day, they didn't have, like, Chad and I have been doing jiu-jitsu a long time. I mean, I remember I met Chad when I was 14 years old, and he was a purple belt then, you know? So, like, we've literally been doing jiu-jitsu for a very long time. Back in the day, especially in this area, if your instructor showed you something that was completely bullshit, you really didn't have a way to know. If it was or it wasn't, you just kind of had to like take their word for it. Whereas nowadays, people know a little bit about something, and that makes them think that they know a lot.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So then now they feel like they have like the ammunition to argue or to like fact check you or background check you. You know what I mean? And this is kind of like the thing. This is like, you know, when SportsCenter came out, or when anything hit. You know, thought they were a sex expert, or they could the best player ever was, or the best player in the world was, but really they didn't really know anymore. They just have better information available to them. They just misuse it, you know? So that's why I think now, like what Chad said, that's why it's super important. You have to like be on it, you know, because you just, if you just come in with that relaxed, laid back mindset about it, you don't nip these things in the butt, come in a gym and have a gym full of everybody who thinks they got it figured out. So what do you need to be there for?
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, it's great points by both of you guys. I mean, it's, and if there's the length of time that you both have been in this, you know, game, call it sport, whatever we want to call this, this discipline of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you do have to be on top of it. Like Chad said, like I ask questions all the time. Like I'm the question guy. I've always been the question guy in class. And I know people are like, why is this guy asking questions all the time? I'm like, yeah, because I don't know anything. Like I want to be that person that absorbs things, and I trust that Chad's actually giving me the right stuff, and I can fact check him if I want to.
Well, I think it's also, you know, it's also up to the instructor to set that atmosphere in the gym, and that's something we have very well. Is you know, and again, I want people to go out and watch stuff and, you know, bring new stuff to me. You know, I feel like one of the downfalls for me of when I started jiu-jitsu is like footlocks weren't a very big thing. Right. It was almost kind of like, you know, don't beat me with a footlock, beat me with jiu-jitsu. I've heard people say that, like, you know, so I wish I would have delved, you know, got into footlocks a lot sooner. So I have some guys that really like footlocks and purple belts, and they, you know, I've had them teach class like, hey, let's do this today. So I think that's a good atmosphere to set for your academy and your gym, too. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I want to talk a little bit more, Dante, about your weight training, because I know that's a big part of your game. So I just started lifting. I never lifted weights in my life. I'll be 49 years old this year. And I started lifting about probably less than 6 months ago. I had a guy start at the gym that's a personal trainer. I'm like, hey, you want to trade private lessons for personal training? He said, absolutely. So I've been lifting 2 days a week for the last 4 or 5 months. And I was always that guy that jiu-jitsu's enough. Jiu-jitsu will keep me in shape. It'll keep me this. It'll keep me that. And just in the short time I've been lifting, it's amazing on how stronger I feel already and how better I feel. So I think a lot of athletes, even hobbyists, need to look at that, right? So if you can talk about how you lift and how much it's helped your game and your jiu-jitsu, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so as far as lifting goes, lifting is going to be, it is something that, just like training jiu-jitsu, if everybody who does jiu-jitsu, whether they're starting out and they're doing it just as something to do, like hobbyist level, something to try out, or you're at my level, we all train jiu-jitsu. It's just the difference in our training volume, and that's pretty much it. You know, when you really break it down, like, we focus on training technically, we focus on rolling, we focus on all these things, but it's the volume of training that's the biggest difference, and it's like the focus of that. So with lifting, my training volume is not going to be similar to a training volume I would suggest one of my white belt or blue belt students do, or even some of my competitors, even at a lower level, because it's at just a different level. But it is something I think that everyone would benefit from. It is something that it doesn't just necessarily get you in better shape, but it does help at a point of kink jiu-jitsu. You can, you know, you can defend yourself against a lot of injuries by being stronger and being better equipped to deal with the kind of damage and strain that jiu-jitsu can put on your body. If you get in good, like, aerobic conditioning, you have good conditioning from doing jiu-jitsu, at the same time, it's destructive to your body when you do it at a any kind of higher intensity. It's destructive to your body. It is a sport that is meant to break your limbs and choke you unconscious. That's literally what we do in the sport. So even in a controlled environment, it can be damaging. That's not to say that every time you do jiu-jitsu, you're like shortening your career or your life necessarily. But if you're not doing things outside of the gym to better prepare you and to combat those negative aspects of training jiu-jitsu, then it's only going to be a matter of time before you break down and you just can't continue training. So what's going to keep the mat when I'm 45, 50, 55 years old? Obviously not going to be training the way I'm training now, but it's going to be weight training. It's going to be joint training. It's going to be different things like this. It's going to be getting up and going for a walk. It's going to be getting good sleep. It's going to be all these things, you know, and weight training is right at the core of that, I feel like.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of got into it. So I'm lucky. So knock on wood, this is my 20th year of jiu-jitsu, right? And I've had one major injury where I was out about 5 months. I sprained my MCL last year, just knee cutting. It was nothing crazy and it popped. And that's what kind of wanted me I wanted to lift to protect my body. You know, getting stronger is obviously a benefit to that. But like you said, I think we don't think enough about how much it protects your body, your ligaments and joints and all that.
Yeah, that's the number one thing. And that's when people see like my numbers and the things that I do in the gym, I've been lifting a really long time and I'm strong. So those are the weights that I use. It's that's the maximum, then that's the same as what I do. My max is just higher, right? So that's the thing I think people might get confused on. And that's the number one thing about it, is just not, I'm not sitting here trying to put 5 pounds on my lift, you know, every month. I'm not sitting here like I have to get a 335 bench, I have to get a 600 pound whatever, I have to do this for this many reps. I'm trying to get stronger in like coordination with my sport. So if my numbers are staying up around 5% of my, you know, highest ever, or 10% of my highest ever, I'm still able to do that kind of weight in the gym. My body feels good and my training is excelling. Like, I'm doing better in training, I'm having good results in competition, then it's doing its job. Just because I'm not going from a, you know, 545 squat to a 585 squat, that doesn't necessarily mean that my strength training is doing its purpose if my jiu-jitsu training and jiu-jitsu competition success is decreasing. So it has to work in coordination with what I'm doing. With you, when you're saying, you know, you want to put on strength or you want to lift more, whether to build a little bit of muscle or to just get stronger or whatever it may be, to prevent yourself from these silly kind of injuries that you feel are preventable,
right,
then if that happens and you're able to stay on the mat longer, it does its job.
Yeah.
You know, and another thing is too, with people who never lifted before, it, you're going to get stronger. You're just going to get stronger, plain and simple. There's no way that if you go in the gym and you lift, it's inevitable. You're going to like gain, you're going to start putting numbers up that you never did before. And then your body is going to start changing. And I don't care what anybody says, this isn't a shallow take on it, but when you get stronger and when you get a vein in your bicep, you keep lifting. There's just no way. Not that is like the biggest thing to fuel you through lifting. Like when you're a teenager and you start lifting and you look more swole and you like your buddies tell you like, bro, you look kind of swole, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's number one. Like that keeps you in the fucking gym. It doesn't matter what age you are because you can see the success. It's like watching your bank account multiply. It's literally what it is. So that's going to happen. Once that happens, it's pretty easy to keep rolling. Honestly, I feel like that. It's pretty easy to keep rolling. It's hard to see a difference in your body at this point just doing jiu-jitsu. Like you've done it for so long, you're so adapted to the training that it's hard to see like a shift in yourself.
100%. And you're right, as soon as you feel some results, or like, you know, like I rolled with Terry he was out for a little while and he came back. He's like, you feel a lot stronger already. And that's going to keep me going. Right. Yeah. And that little bit of confidence that I have from that type of stuff that's what keeps it going, man. It feels great.
Yeah. I felt it the first time rolling versus, you know, rolling before instantly, like, you know, Chad is super fast. So, you know, I'm a bigger person and I have really good grips and hand strength, and like his hand strength is there. Like, it's not that he never had it before, but he would switch grips super fast. You know, that was your game, like to switch and not hold on or whatever. And then now it was like, no, like you could run lasso and hold it all day. And it's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not that you couldn't do it before, but I could feel the difference. And then, you know, even getting on top of me and cross facing, I was like, dang, man, like I can feel, you know, I felt the pressure before, but you can tell the strength is there. You can tell that he's taken, you know, a new approach or a different approach to being, you know, healthy and great at this game for a long period of time. And I think, you know, Dante, you hit the nail right on the head, is that we have to do this. If we're going to do this, whether you're a hobbyist or a professional, you have to do it right. You have to be able to put yourselves in those good positions to eat well, you know, at least try to eat well the best that you can, and, you know, train right, you know, do some lifting, do some cardio, go for walks if you're older and stuff like that. Don't be complacent. Don't just, you know, go to the gym and do it and then wonder why you're getting hurt. Well, it's because you're laying at home doing nothing all the time and you're only showing up to do jiu-jitsu. And it's like, I get hobbyists are doing that, but you should probably rethink about how good then you want to be at this. You know, I don't just want to be a hobbyist and be bad at this. I want to be a hobbyist and be confident and be pretty good in my ability to do jiu-jitsu. And so, you know, I think that it's a whole package. It's a package deal. And it's like anything you're going to do in your life, you should probably do that. You know what I mean? You should probably.
I agree.
You know, you know,
I agree. It becomes like a typical thing of like, if you go to work and then you're like stressed out and you come home and you just sit on the couch, and then that becomes the repetition of your life. It's only a matter of time before those like simple choices, one, become your habit and what you do, and two, that's kind of like going to be the beginning of, with many people, especially this generation, the generation before mine, it's like the beginning of your demise. That's when, you know, before, depression and your body starts breaking down and your metabolism shuts down because you're not doing anything and you're just kind of like cruising through. And even though you're like, oh, I love, you know, you could hate your job, but I love jiu-jitsu. Well, if you love jiu-jitsu, but you just do the same shit you did before, the same shit, you know, with jiu-jitsu, you just do jiu-jitsu and that's it. You're going to like decrease faster because jiu-jitsu's not helping your joints and your ligaments. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It might help your you know, it helps you keep in shape, you know, you get blood flowing, you get your heart rate up, things like that. So yeah, it is a great workout, but it's not helping your body feel better. You know, it's not, it's going to put you through pain unless you do something to prevent that.
Yeah.
100%. I'm a prime example of taking what, 5 months off roughly, Chad. So I helped coach my youngest son, and you know, he always wants me to coach, so on and so forth. And I finally made the decision. I was like, I have to go back to the gym, because I was experiencing a lot of depression, and just like, I used to be super active. I'd run, did jujitsu, I lifted, and a lot of that changed over the 5 months. And I was just like, man, I'm not the person that I was. Even my wife was like, you need to like get back at it. So I jumped all in. I'm an all in person, and I'm already feeling better. Like back to my normal diet, not eating crap. I'm actually doing other things besides jujitsu and keeping myself active and doing stuff. So I was driving home from the gym last night. Music was up. I felt great. You know, I only rolled twice last night. It wasn't like I did some groundbreaking thing or anything, but I just was like, I feel great. Like, this is where I needed to be. Like, I don't feel depressed. I feel great about myself. I'm, you know, my teammates are awesome, and I miss this, you know? So that time off, I was like, wow, you just got in a bad habit. Like, you allowed yourself to, and it's what we're talking about today. I mean, if you're out there listening, man, take it to heart. Cause like, don't do it. Like, don't let yourself get to that point. Do something, you know?
It's a common thing. It's sad to say, but it's common in this area of the country. Is kind of like, that's kind of what the generations before us was, you know, get up, go to work hard, and there wasn't a lot of other answers after that, you know.
Right.
No,
know what I mean? And it's the backbone that built a great place, an amazing place for us all to live, for sure. And it still should be the backbone. You should still like get up, work hard, provide, and bust your ass. You know, I'm a big believer in that, but sure, you got to do things for you too. You know, you can't, it's not sustainable to just be a grump or suffer 100%. Through every single thing. It has to be some time in your life when you can be happy and enjoy those things. And if you find something that you enjoy, you should really do what you can to be able to enjoy it for as long as you can. You know, it's sad that jiu-jitsu is not like playing guitar or playing the piano, where at any point in time you just kind of do it. It's gets physical, it gets harder. Like, the more you do it, it gets harder to do, you know. Right. Those, it is a physical thing, so it does take some more homework, I guess, some more housework to be able to continue on with it.
It does. I've told people at the gym this. You know, I started, went up until, you know, pretty consistently. And this was way harder than it was walking into the gym for the very first time, like coming back and like getting back consistently, getting several days a week. This has been much harder for me. Yeah. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, cause you know how you felt before, you know,
I
how
did,
good you
100%. Yeah. And so that's where, like, you know, I have to take rounds off because I'm like coughing and yakking, and I'm like, oh geez, yeah, like, what is wrong with you, man? Like, and that was, you know, in the beginning. And even now it's like, wow, I'm not feeling that way. I'm already slimming down some. I've cut out a ton of stuff, you know, and I'm like, oh man, like, I'm an idiot. Like, why did I do this to myself? But I, you know, I learned and I knew what was going to happen going back. I knew it was going to be really hard. I just didn't know mentally it was going to be as hard as it is. It was nothing like walking in the first time a white belt, you know. Like,
yeah, you had, yeah, because you didn't,
like,
know.
I didn't know. No, I know. And jiu-jitsu is hard, let's be honest. It's not easy. Like, I tell people all the time, greatest thing you could ever do for yourself in your life, you know, but it's the hardest thing you're probably ever going to do. It's the most taxing on both mental, physical. It's going to take you down roads that you didn't want to go down. You're going to doubt everything about yourself at certain times. You know, you're going to walk away and think you're awful at whatever. And maybe you're awful at other things because of jiu-jitsu, and you think of that, you know, whatever have you, you know, but still do it anyway, everybody.
Yeah. So it's always like a thing whenever I talk about how jiu-jitsu is, when I talk kind of real about it, like we're talking here, and it's kind of like the warnings of what you should do on top of it. So it's almost like, I don't mean it to deter anybody or to say that it's like the hardest thing, like ever, like nobody can do it. Like, anybody can do it, but I want people to do it and enjoy it for what it really is. You know?
Right.
And
I'm
coming from, as somebody who does this as a living. So when I say like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, it's just so that I can see you be in a sport for an extended period of your life, you know, from now until you literally can't do anything anymore.
Right.
That's how I want jiu-jitsu to be involved in my life. Like, if I'm done, when I'm done competing, I'm done competing. I am done. I will not be a master's competitor. I will not go to master's worlds or anything like that. I will be done competing, but I will always do jiu-jitsu, you know? So that's the thing. I will do whatever I have to do to keep it in my life and keep it as something I do, because it's that special of a thing. But, you know, when I'm done with the competition, man, I'm not going to be seeing you guys at Master Worlds. I will be done for sure.
As Chad calls it, old man worlds.
That's what most people call it. Yeah.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. But it's true. It's a true fact. And like, you want to be around it. You want to be around once you're ingrained in it and you really keep it. You know, obviously Dante and Chad, you guys are way past there, but like for someone like me, that's, you know, I'm a blue belt, been into it, you know, a decent amount of time, but not a ton of time. It's even hard, you know, to like walk away from it. Like, I love being around. Obviously we have a podcast that, you know, Chad talked me into doing years ago, about talking about jiu-jitsu, you know, and having amazing people on, and which is awesome. And, you know, expanding the community and talking just general information, but once it's in you, I don't think I could ever walk away, no matter what. Now, like, I just love the people, and I just love the way the community works, and I just love jiu-jitsu in itself, like the challenge of it and the puzzle of figuring it out. So,
yeah,
good stuff, man. Very cool.
Yeah, you think about, you know, talking about masters and stuff. Masters starts at 30, I believe, right, for the IBJJF. So it's like, is that too young? Is that
I was gonna
too
say,
young?
Are you considered
at 30? I mean, what are you, Dante? 28?
I'm 28 right. years old. When I'm 30, like 30,
right.
I'm looking forward to 30 because I think I'm going to be way better than I am now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, say, right.
When you look at all the other sports, these guys in their early and mid 30s are hitting their peak in MMA, yes. Like a sport where you get punched in the head in boxing.
Yeah. Right.
Manny 100%. Pacquiao's best years were, he was 34 to 37 years old. It was his best, or maybe even older than that. Floyd Mayweather was his best close to 40.
Yeah.
And these are little guys who cut weight, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that is just insane to see. And before, we didn't get the chance to see that with jiu-jitsu because everyone left because they couldn't make money in it. Now we can make a lot more money in jiu-jitsu, so we could start to see people like me stay until they're 40.
Yeah.
So like, that's my goal. Like, once I'm done with the adult competition, I'm going to be done. Like, maybe I'll do a master's competition just to say I did one while I'm as an active adult, but you know, I don't want to do a jiu-jitsu retirement. You know, I don't want to do like everybody in jiu-jitsu does. They retire like 15 times and they're like, well, I didn't retire from no-gi, but oh, I retired from adult, but I'm going to be like a 14 time master's champion or something like this. Or then they come back, and I don't want to do that, man. You know,
yeah,
I mean, I
for sure
to the max, do it that I can and be done, just be the guy who did it before and gets to enjoy jiu-jitsu for the rest of my life and hopefully a lot of other things.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, we have you almost an hour here, Dante. I did want to ask you the financial part of it. Now, it's more flourishing for professional athletes like yourself more than ever, right? Over the last, I mean, Chad, Dante, would you say it's been 5 years, a good transition, or even longer than that? It's been coming, but I mean, last 5 years has been like the tournaments for you guys are getting better payout. You're having better opportunities to get paid to for your professionalism, right?
I would say that everything started with the EBI, Eddie Bravo Invitational.
I think that started
everything, in my opinion. The first one was in like 2015, 2000, like late 2014, 2015, something like that. That's what I think was the first one. It took the whole rest of the world a little while to catch on to make like super fight events. But that was the first event that was truly like really exciting.
Yeah.
And offered big money. Like, other events back in the day offered big money, but they were like really boring because just the rule set was not the same.
Right.
Their rule set would be like shorter matches and points, or like long matches and no points. And there's a lot of stalling. Eddie Bravo Invitational had like really exciting. Just Gary, this one, he's like the most exciting guy to watch back in the day.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was like the event that started all. And then I think other events started to come out to kind of emulate, kind of try and jump on the bandwagon a little bit. Eddie kept on that game for a while. And then the super fight events started to come out, like That's when Polaris came out shortly a few years after that. Polaris. That's when at a time Kasai Flow Grappling got on the board too with their own show, Fight to Win. All these different shows came out. And then once one came out, another one came out. And now today there's still like each year there's like 15 new shows that come out.
There's a lot
of them just like fail and go by the wayside. Some of them catch fire and get really good, and then some of them just kind of like be in that level of like a pro or local or state level show. Which is great. We need that for jiu-jitsu. If that's we need the people to go to those shows and win and then move on to the bigger ranks. We need the bigger definitely. Looking at them, and that's the kind of thing that's happening now. We have a basically like we have a league of jiu-jitsu where we can go to different events. People can go to different events. There's not really a lot of exclusivity in jiu-jitsu just yet. There's a few events that are a little bit exclusive, but there's no exclusivity as far as like you can only compete on one type of show or anything. So jiu-jitsu players are still independent contractors. So for right now, with everything that's going on, this is the best time to be somebody in my position, being able to compete in all of these different events against all the different grapplers from all over the world. You know, if you go to Polaris, you have world-class guys that are European. If you go to Brazil, you have world-class guys that are Brazilian. You can compete in their shows. You kind of have a ton of world-class Brazilians and North Americans here. So anywhere you go in the world, you're going to compete against world-class competitors regardless of your weight. And that's the first time in the history of the sport that that's happened.
It's awesome. Like I love to hear that, especially for your professional like yourself. So this is your living. So you're able to make, financial, means to take care of yourself and your family or whatever have you, and you can grow, and that gives you an opportunity. I was just sitting here thinking about like that whole team thing. Do we ever see an owner of a team that like supports the entire team, and they have a team of jiu-jitsu players that are getting paid regularly, and we go and compete at these, team events? I wonder if that's going to be ever a thing or possible with somebody.
Could be.
That could be a cool thing to happen too. Just got to find the rich people to do that.
That could be a thing that could happen. I think that could be something that happens, but there used to be some things like that back in the day in the UFC. There used to be some camps that had fighters that they paid to be on their team, and they would try and build these super teams, and they almost all fall apart. And I think the same thing would happen with jiu-jitsu too, because I just think people are so like, I think the ego is just so big in the combat sports world. I think people are so individualistic in the combat sports world that they get together and they work for a while, and then people have issues and they move on. You see it happen in jiu-jitsu too. It's hard to man, like of the really high level people, it's just hard to manage the ego of everybody. We're all a little bit guilty of it, I'm sure, but this just to manage everybody's ego gets a little bit difficult.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Definitely. Yeah. We'll see. I want it to keep getting bigger and bigger, and I want more people out there to see it, and I want you professionals to be able to make as much as you can, because I feel that other professionals are getting paid, ridiculous amount of money for, in my own personal opinion, something that's not always as hard, So just my little tidbit. Yeah. People don't like to hear me say that, but
it's the popularity, it's the popularity of the sport. Yeah. It's this thing. It's there's people there's people who are lawyers or own medical practices in this country that make hundreds of millions of dollars in their lifetime, and they love to watch golf, or they love to go to watch the Indy 500.
Right,
they don't drive a race car. They don't. Maybe some of them don't even know about golf. They just want to go to Augusta. Thing. We don't really have that with jiu-jitsu. Like ADCC is starting that. ADCC is at like the foreground of that. Mo's doing a great job of getting a great venue in the fight capital of the world, getting high profile people to be there, whether they do or don't do jiu-jitsu, and just making it something that looks like a spectacle that people would be interested in. That's the thing. We got to get these people outside of our sport to be interested in what it is that we do. And with all these other sports, a lot of the other sports, you have a lot of people that go and support and they love it and they're passionate and they don't know anything about the sport, you know?
Right. So yeah, 100%. We need that.
We need some of that too.
Yeah,
like we need
we do.
Those. We need those NASCAR fans, you know, we need the people who just want to be there and they want to yell, they want to scream. They bring the energy and they support. So, you know, if that's what it is, we need those fans too.
100%. ADCC 2024 is going to be huge. It's going to be big.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, the last one was massive too. Massive. So to see this one looking like it's going to be even bigger is pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be good. Yeah. Good for the sport. Good for you guys. Good for everyone out there that's in this, and to get some more people in, bring some people in, bring some good new fans in, people that maybe not even practice it or train in the discipline, but just watch it for the love of it. You know what I mean? For the love of the sport and what it brings to people. So that'd be cool. All right, man. We kept you for an hour, brother. I can't thank you enough, man, for your time. And, you know, I know you're really, really busy. You're always training. Ohio, Toledo. You in Toledo right now?
I am. I'm in Toledo right now.
So he's got snow too, Chad. and cold.
More coming.
Right. And more coming.
Yeah. I heard it's going all day today and then tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
Yes,
yeah.
Supposed to. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. We're right in the middle of what we might get or not get. So.
Yeah, so. Well, hey. Go ahead, Chad. You got anything?
I was just going to say, Dante, you know, I've known you for a long time now. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm proud of where you know, what you've done, and you've always been a cool dude, you know, because you're, you know, on top of the food chain right now. And when I'd see you at tournaments, you would always come up and make your way to say hi and shake my hand. So I want to say that means a lot. You're, you know, kept your level head, you know?
Yeah. I appreciate that. And you know, it's something I always try to do, you know, I like where I came from. I like where I am, like, Ohio, the Midwest is kind of the mindset and the culture, the way things are ran up here. It is, it's easy, I guess, when you're in a sport to get a big head about something, but it's always cool to be around, people for a while who kind of like, don't give a shit, you know, everybody around here has known me for a long time. So, I can't really try and act like a big dog with anybody because I've been here since I was a kid, you know, so it's a cool thing and it's something I like, but something I definitely strive to do.
Awesome. Yeah.
Very cool.
It's awesome.
Very good. Hey man, is there anything you want to shout out tournament wise, how to get at you, any videos you want to promote, anything you want, man, your promotions, anyone who's sponsoring you, whatever you say it, I'll have it all in the show notes. Want everyone out there to go out and support you, you know, as much as they support us on the show and you coming on, man. So go have at it, Dante.
Yeah. So I don't want to make a big long outro and thank every single person, but, matches coming up. I got February 9th, who's number one in Costa Mesa, against Diego Pato. You can check that out on the Flow Grappling website. Prelims will be free on YouTube after that on Flow. And then I will also be competing on Leap Day, February 29th, a Thursday, in the IBJJF Grand Prix Absolute. That's an 8-man Grand Prix. I do not know the rest of the competitors so far, but excuse me, so far everybody is quite large and I am the only small guy in it, so that'll be a fun event. It's something similar to what I did at Pans last year, so it'll be a fun thing. I'm really excited they asked me, really excited that they had interest in having me. I'm excited about that one as well, but the big focus is February 9th. Both those you can check out on Flow. I appreciate if everybody hops on and checks it out, especially if you like this podcast. Other than that, thank you to all the people close to me. Thank you all my sponsors, and thank you to the both of you for having me on.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Yeah, anytime, man. Yeah, if you ever need anything down the road, you need to talk, tell people out there, whatever, get a hold of Chad. We'll get you on the show, man, anytime, Dante. It's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you, man. Good luck with everything that you're doing in the future. Keep grinding, keep pushing, keep teaching people, man, being up there. Appreciate you greatly, man. Thank you for your time.
Yep, thanks, brother.
Thank you guys. Take care.
Yep, we'll see ya.